Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. The new film, Eighth Grade, stars Elsie Fisher, who plays Kayla, a smart but sometimes excruciatingly awkward girl struggling with that difficult transition from middle school to high school. Kayla's world is dominated by social media, cliques, who's popular and pretty and who's not. And it opens with Kayla's vlog or video blog in which she talks about being yourself. Here's a scene from the trailer.
Hey guys, it's Kayla back with another video. So, the topic of today's video is being yourself. Being yourself can be hard, and it's like, aren't I always being myself? And yeah, for sure. But being yourself is like not changing yourself to impress someone else.
Okay, so Eighth Grade reminds us that middle school can be, among other things, hell. It was written and directed by Bo Burnham, a comedian and actor who got his start on YouTube. It's his first feature-length film. It debuted at the Sundance Film Festival, and it will hit theaters in Boston July 20th. And Bo Burnham, who grew up in Hamilton, Mass., stopped by a few days ago to talk about the film. So this is such a visceral and powerful depiction of what it's like to be a 13-year-old right now. At least that's what I took away from it. Tell us what inspired this film.
Well, yeah, that was part of the inspiration, was wanting to tell a story that was not nostalgic. A lot of movies in this space tend to be remembered, and I like remembered movies, but I wanted to make a movie that was visceral. Because I do believe the way that this age feels is different than the way it is remembered by adults. And I also think that kids are experiencing something different than I experienced in 2003 or someone experienced in another decade because of technology and because of the culture. So that was the inspiration, wanting to talk about the internet, wanting to talk about feelings around the internet, to maybe have a conversation about the internet that's a little subtler than Russia, you know, or cyberbullying, to do a sort of a granular look at.
Well, I want to ask you about the internet, but I wanted just to focus on Kayla first. Mm. She's played by Elsie Fisher, clearly a smart and thoughtful girl, but she's not one of the cool girls. She's not one of the super popular girls, not one of the super pretty girls. And she spends a lot of time trying to be a better, more popular version of herself as she prepares for high school. Can you talk a little bit about her character, Kayla?
Yeah, I mean, she's voted most quiet, which was a superlative I had in my school when I was in middle school, which I couldn't believe that, like, parents would do that or teachers would do that because it felt like no kid self-identifies as shy. But yeah, it is someone who is seen as shy by the world but has a real want to express herself and better herself in the world, which I think everyone does to a certain degree. The movie's sort of about her in this last week of school making one final attempt to bridge the gap between where she thought she would be at this point and where she actually is. But hopefully, you know, it really is saying, you know, a 13-year-old girl can be a conduit for the human condition as much as a 60-year-old male poet in the woods can be.
Interesting. So talk about the effect of the internet, because you said you wanted to create a film that really showed what it felt like to be alive now. And one of the dominant forces in the world right now, particularly for these young people, are smartphones. They're glued to these devices. So how did you want to depict the effect of this technology on these kids?
Yeah, well, part of it was just that, just to depict the effect and to not prescribe, to not do a TED Talk. Sometimes when we talk about the internet, it feels like in culture we're talking about it prescriptively as parents, as worriers, rather than, for me, anyone that knows enough about the internet doesn't have any solid ground under their feet to talk about it. It feels like to know the internet is to be awash in it and drowning in it and grasping for meaning. Mm. So that's sort of the portrayal of it, to say, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's sort of neutral. It's two things at once. She's hyper-connected. She's lonely. She's overstimulated. She's numb. But she's these things at the same time. And it's just portraying, what does it feel like to go to bed at the end of the day and to choose between every piece of information in the history of the world on your phone or the back of your eyelids? And that's what it sort of feels like, having to sweep between these two big binaries. And also, I think the internet does sort of force kids to watch themselves and not live in themselves. They sort of hover over themselves, watching themselves live their life, watch other people watch them live their life, watch other people watch them live their life. You know, there's a weird sort of meta, out-of-body, dissociative thing that happens. And the movie just hopefully portrays it in a little way, and to show that the sort of classic things of being young, of wanting to be perceived as something, to want to change yourself, yeah. to be worried about the way peers think of you. The internet just really...
It really reinforces that.
Yeah, and exacerbates. Everything's just bigger. It's not. And hopefully everyone can relate to it, but also be sensitive to the fact that something very strange is happening right now, and we're not really taking inventory of it.
And you've sort of been aware and in some of your work talked about the sort of criticism that I think it's a criticism that you have, or at least a concern that you have about this. And it's interesting because in many ways, the launch of your career was, you know, had a lot to do with the availability of the internet. And I was reading this New York Times profile that talked about you as if the monster turned on Frankenstein in a way.
Yeah. It's very funny. Yeah, people think Frankenstein's the monster, but no, Frankenstein's the doctor.
That's true.
Yeah, right, you know, yeah. You were right. No, you had it right.
No, we had it right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I haven't turned. It's just it's more that I'm not. It's not, the movie's not about, and then she threw her phone in the ocean and then she was happy. You know,
right.
It's not meant to indict the internet. It's just meant to talk about it honestly. And it means something to me. That's why I'm talking about it this way.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I don't want it to be scare tactic or anything, but I just want it to, you know, be described correctly.
Yeah. So when I see what these what social media. Well, I mean, here's an example that you depict really well in the film. These kids are always glued. Their eyes are always down. And I don't actually want to pick on these kids. I think we adults are guilty of the same thing.
We've also made a really bad world for them to look up at as well. I mean,
that's an interesting way to put it.
You know.
But I was watching the film and I just wanted to scream, take your eyes off the screen and look at each other, talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And it sort of made me think, you know, is the genie out of the bottle for good, or can we somehow stuff it back in and sort of turn away or turn this to better effect?
I mean, I think the genie's out. I mean, some people think it's going to be cyclical and kids are going to unplug. But at a certain point, like, not everything's cyclical. Sometimes the Model T shows up and there are no more horses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the movie talks about a sort of classic asymmetry between that you'd rather have 100 meaningless connections in front of you than one that's staring across from you at the dinner table.
Yeah.
But they're not meaningless. That's the thing, too. Like, she is connecting with people online. She is expressing herself online. That is good. And it's bad. That's what I'm trying to at least portray with this thing, is that there, I don't have a resolution. I don't have a point of view.
Right.
That's probably a bad thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When these 13-year-olds grow up to become social scientists, I'll be very curious to hear what they have to say about the internet.
Yeah.
But until then, it's just like, I feel like we should just sort of take inventory maybe of what's happening, you know, and then let them speak with authority on it, because I just don't think there's enough information to speak with authority on the internet yet.
Interesting. Well, I want to play a little tape from your world on the internet, because you made your name, especially among younger people, as a YouTube comedian early on. Some of the first videos you posted to YouTube were all shot in your room. So here's a moment from one of them.
Oh, boy.
Hi, internet. It's been a while. I wrote this song for you, and it's about something that's usually pretty boring, math, and it makes it fun. It's called New Math. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's do it. What's a pirate minus the ship? Just a creative homeless guy and an anteater.
Yeah. All right, we're back. Bo Burnham, you were sort of... You weren't real comfortable with listening to that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I wasn't. It wasn't an effort to make
No, it wasn't. No. It's like you listen to something you did when you were 16 and see if you don't squirm at it. No. Everyone's welcome to do it. These things are on the internet for everyone to look at. It's so hard for me to. Part of the reason this movie is me going back and forgiving myself and going like, not forgiving myself specifically, but going like, re-examining the cringy things you post on the internet when you're in eighth grade. I mean, when that was posted, I was 3 years out of eighth grade.
Yeah.
And these things are immortalized forever.
Well, the reason I wanted to play that, and it really wasn't my intention to make you cringe,
but I
want to sort of say Kayla, too, is doing
something
on the internet. My sense is, unlike your work, she's getting like 5 viewers. But how much did you see yourself in Kayla?
I see myself more in her now than I did then, truly.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I was definitely wanting to express myself on the internet at that age, and she's doing that as well. I mean, when I was her age, there really wasn't an internet to express yourself on in the same degree. But my sort of anxiety didn't sort of awaken until I was probably a sophomore in high school. I think girls on average, not to be cruel to the boys or whatever, but just tend to have slightly deeper experiences a little earlier for whatever reason, maybe culturally imposed or innate, whatever. But yeah, I see myself in her. You know, I was having panic attacks, you know, backstage at the Schubert Theater instead of before a pool party in a bathroom. But the right. feelings are the same. And that was the hope to say, look at this 13-year-old girl and say, I can see myself in you now. We are the same. We feel the same. It doesn't just have to be. This isn't a story about my younger daughter or my younger self necessarily.
So interesting question. You, Kayla is so believable. And there's a sort of harsh realism to this film and a lot of raw, unfiltered feelings. And I'm thinking of one scene in particular. It's right before the pool party, and the girls are all sort of lined up for a photograph. And Kayla, obviously a little uncomfortable in her bathing suit and her body, is kind of hiding behind the other girls. And she kind of gets pulled out in front of them. No, Kayla, we got to see you too. Come on out. It was such a painful moment to watch. I felt so badly for her. But here's my question. How did you tap into that so well? I mean, you're a guy, and you really directed this girl really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love pool parties. I wasn't, like, psyched about my body. I don't know if anyone is in eighth grade. But, yeah, it was, in terms of how I was directing a girl, it was, I mean, I was very aware of being a man in this position the entire time and just tried to subjugate myself to her truth and told her all the time, you know what this is, not me. You show me.
Yeah.
What it's like. You are the expert on this. And also just, again, to just trust that I could know her. Yes. Believing that I could understand her, let me understand her.
Right.
If I had approached her like this alien of a, you know, people write movies about World War I soldiers, you know what I mean? And like creatures that live in volcanoes. I can understand a girl, you know?
Yeah.
I felt that way.
How did you find Elsie Fisher? She was so good in this role.
Yeah, she's pretty special. I found a clip of her online being interviewed for something and brought her in, auditioned every kid sort of under the sun. Every other kid, when they played the role, it felt like a confident kid pretending to be shy. She was the only one that felt like a shy kid pretending to be confident, which is the role. Yeah, it was really, there was never a second choice. It was like the lights were on when she read. And it really, to bring Frankenstein back, it really was that. It was like, it's alive for the first time when she read it.
That's great. So I was talking to my very great producer, Zoe, who's your age, and she said something really interesting about this film, that it's really the only one that depicts in a real way how young people are using the internet and social media. And given how prevalent all this is in our society, why is that? I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, there are not a lot of films out there that really delve into it the way you have.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, thank you, Zoe. I think a problem I see with the internet portrayed in media is that it's always portrayed too significantly. If they're going to portray the internet, it'll be a huge plot device. Something will go viral. I want it, like, I'm very happy to have a movie where someone doesn't go viral. As opposed to just having the internet be atmosphere, part of their life.
Yeah.
Just something that's happening, not something that is immediately significant. It's not like, oh, I sent a picture here, or oh my gosh, I FaceTime my mom by accident. Like, it's like these things just exist. So I think that's the hope, I think, of the movie, is that it just portrays it without commentary. It portrays it as it is in our lives, which is already integrated. When sometimes you see kids in movies and they're going like, oh my gosh, that was hashtag savage. And you're like, no, kids don't talk like that. Like, that's how a 40-year-old thinks a kid talks. It's integrated way more subtly into their life. They're not thinking about it. I think as younger people that actually grew up with the internet like me start to make things, you will see the internet be portrayed a little more emotionally and less as this, less satirized, because it's like, why satirize the internet? The internet's already self-satirizing and ironic.
It's sort of like, why satirize oxygen? I mean, it's just part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, and it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to satirize memes? You're going to satirize like a... It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't go anywhere.
So, Bo, what are you working on next?
Hopefully just, you know, taking some time off this and just sort of banging my head against a wall trying to think of something. I'm not good at multitasking, so it'll just be like sitting alone and trying to write again.
I'm really sort of glad to hear that. I'm really tired of talking to super talented people who are like finished one incredible movie and they're already telling me about the next one.
Oh, so, don't worry. You've got a moderately talented person who's taking things one step at a time, baby.
All right. So that's Bo Burnham. He's the writer and director of the movie Eighth Grade, which debuted at the Sundance Film Festival. It hits theaters in Boston on July 20th. Bo Burnham, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today and this week. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell. Tim Skog is our technical director. Rene Marchando engineered our show today. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend, and join us again Monday on Radio Boston.